Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Matthew, please. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew, chapter 2. We're going to read together verses 1 through 11 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently this morning. Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's Word as we read the Word of God together. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's pray together. Father, God, please forgive us for not knowing that you had sent your Son, yourself, to us. Help us to be a people that diligently seek to worship him as these wise men did. God, help us today as Pastor comes and preaches to us from this passage to be more thankful, to be better Christians, and to truly admire and love you like we should. Holy Spirit, anoint him for that task. And Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray today they would settle that matter before they leave this room. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask now that you make sure your vibrator, your vibrator's turned off. Yes. If you have a seat vibrator, would you let us know? That would be very comforting for the rest of us. Make sure your cell phone is on vibration or off, please. Help us there. Help us to sit very still and listen carefully these next few minutes. Now, if you're a Baptist clock watcher, I have approximately 2.5 minutes to preach my sermon before noon. Just to let you know, it's not going to end at noon, so don't get your hopes up. I don't have a 2.5 minute sermon. I really don't. And so I can't help you with that part of it. So you'll have to bear with us. Lord's Supper Sunday always pushes us a little later than usual. But don't worry, there's plenty of food at Hometown Buffet, and they'll have enough left over when you get there. Hey, it's Christmas season, ladies and gentlemen. Time to cheer up a little. I'm going to talk to you about Christmas cheer this morning. I'm not talking about that junk they put in the bottle that people think makes their Christmas happy. I'm talking about Christmas cheer, Christmas cheer. Now look at me, folks, look at me. If we're going to sing "Joy to the World, the Lord has come," then we might as well go ahead and act like we're happy about that. What do you say? See, but Pastor John said, it's a tough time right now for people. Yes, I understand that. Did you know burdens are no different at Christmas time? Maybe a little more difficult, actually. But the problems we take into the Christmas season are probably going to be around after Christmas is over. after the packages are unwrapped and everybody's all done and said and the food is all eaten. For me, it's official Christmas season when Anna Williams sings Sweet Little Jesus. Boy, that's my favorite Christmas song. I ask them to sing that every year, and they sing it every year. It's an old Negro spiritual. It's a beautiful little song. To me, that starts the Christmas season. That and Christmas cookies. Now, I haven't had any Christmas cookies yet. So you can put them on plates out here on the table after service this morning or in the next couple of weeks if you like. And make sure nobody touches those Christmas cookies. God will kill you if you touch one of my Christmas cookies. And if he doesn't, I'll do it for him. It's Christmas. The holiday season, the season of Christmas time, is supposed to be a time of joy. And I understand that doesn't necessarily mean we laugh all the time and everything's hilarious. But ladies and gentlemen, you understand the wise men we read about a moment ago in Matthew chapter 2, they make a 600-700-mile journey on a handful of verses of prophecy from the book of Daniel. And they come to Jerusalem because they didn't have the book of Micah to tell them to go to Bethlehem. They come to Jerusalem looking for he that is born king of the Jews. And they almost insult the king by asking him that question because they knew it wasn't him. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And they're asking the king that. But they knew they were looking for somebody else. And God gives them direction from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, 5.5 miles away. Journey you could make on foot in just a little no time at all, to be honest with you. And as they leave Jerusalem and they're headed to Bethlehem, the star that they had seen in the east, the Bible says, appears to them again. And look in Matthew chapter 2, if you would, now to verse number 10. And it says this, "And when they saw the star, they griped about how long it had been riding on that camel and how there weren't any convenience stores open on Christmas." Now the Bible says they rejoiced. No, and it says, "with exceeding great joy." You know, the shepherds, the night before, well, it was actually long before the night before of this, but the night of Christ's birth, there's a bunch of shepherds in the field watching their flocks by night. Angelic host appears to them. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You'll find this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the Bible said the shepherds left their flocks, went immediately into the town, found the place where Christ was born, saw him, and left there praising God and rejoicing. There's supposed to be a cheer about Christmas time and a joy about the season. And sometimes I'll preach a message on how to have the Christmas spirit, if you want to call it that. But today I want us to understand the importance of Christmas cheer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, could we not just for a moment put it all aside? The bills that are waiting for us tomorrow and the things that are coming up and the fact that we still have more Christmas shopping. How many are done with your Christmas shopping? You're all completely finished. Hold your hands up in the air so the rest of us can hate you. And look around at you this morning. I asked my class this morning, a lot of them raised their hands because they're not buying anybody anything. They were done before the season started. And so some of us, we still have to go fight the Walmart crowd and the mall crowd and the other crowds that are out there. And that's just, oh, that's the work wickedness of the commercialization of Christmas. You understand gift giving comes from the wise men in the Bible. Now, it's like our birthday. We get a gift for our birthday. Should give it to your mom. She did all the work. How many of you ladies agree with that this morning? All right, I thought so. That we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and give each other gifts. But it's in memory, or it's, as it were, a tradition that's born from the wise men who came and gave gifts to Jesus. And we always say there's three wise men. It may have been more than that. We know there are three gifts. That's where we get the three wise men principle. And I understand, dear people, look at me. I understand the commercialization of Christmas. I understand that Santa Claus has replaced Jesus Christ. I used to think he was the devil. Satan's claws. I used to teach my Sunday school class when I was a second grade boy Sunday school teacher. I'd teach him it's Satan's claws, not Santa Claus. And take the word Santa and move the wording around, letters around. It's S-A-T-A-N instead of S-A-N-T-A. It's Satan's claws pulling you down to hell. And I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. But kind of went over the deep end just a little bit. I do that every now and then still. Yes, thank you. How come he's jolly and fat and I'm fat and people want to send me to Weight Watchers? I don't understand that. That's not... Cookies make your clothes shrink. That's what the problem is. some Christmas cookies. As soon as they make them, your clothes pucker in the closet. That's not right either. I don't understand this idea of having a celebration of a season of the birth of Jesus Christ and lose our Christmas cheer. The wise men were happy. The Bible said they weren't just happy, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The shepherds were happy when they heard the news. They left the presence of Jesus Christ lying in a manger there, and the Bible said they praised God, told everybody what happened. When Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, when she conceived in her old age and had the John the Baptist in her womb, he was born. John was born 6 months before Christ was. And when Mary came to see Elizabeth, and here she was, an older woman yet great with child, and when Mary walked into the presence of Elizabeth to tell her that she was the chosen one, that Mary was the chosen virgin to give birth, miraculous birth to Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the babe, John the Baptist, leapt in the womb of Elizabeth. There seems to be everywhere that Jesus is coming into this world appears, there seems to be joy attached with that. So Christmas cheer, ladies and gentlemen, joy at Christmas time. But why were these people happy? Why were the wise men happy? Why were the shepherds rejoicing? And why was it that Elizabeth had such joy in her life? And Mary, by the way, shocked at the news that she was the chosen one to give birth to Christ, but submitted herself to the will of God. Why was there such joy and rejoicing around the birth of Jesus Christ? It'll help us to understand how we need to have Christmas cheer. Oh, can I say this? Listen to me. And when you get some Christmas cheer, would you spread it around a little bit? Especially with people who are working right now. Those in the retail business. Every time you leave, tell them Merry Christmas. Never mind Happy Holidays, junk. Tell them Merry Christmas. It's okay. Now, they may not be able to say it back. There's some stores they don't allow their employees to say that. And that's fine. Don't give the employee a bad time about it. All right? Don't look at the employee and say, well, you're following the Antichrist. Is that what your problem is, pal? The guy's just trying to make a living. She's just trying to make a little extra money at Christmas time. Oh, she has to follow the policy of the boss, all that kind of junk. I understand there's holidays. There's a Muslim holiday. There's a Jewish holiday. There's a Kwanzaa. There's all these other different holidays that take place, conveniently, around the time of the birth of Christ. So it's happy holidays for them. They're playing it safe and covering the ground. They're politically correct. We are not playing it safe. We're not politically correct, and it's Merry Christmas. But don't say, Merry Christmas! You got something to say about it, pal? Don't threaten a poor soul. They've been back there chewed out by everybody on the planet because there wasn't a price sticker on that cheap, lousy $2.90 item over there anyway. Just look at him and say, hey, by the way, Merry Christmas to you today. There's nothing wrong, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with the people of God having a little Christmas cheer in their life. Seriously. Be good for us. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, I got some burdens and heartaches in my life. Yeah, I've got my own today. But when Jesus came into this world, there just seemed to be joy around him. The people who knew about it, they were enjoying themselves. They were rejoicing with exceeding great joy. How do you have Christmas cheer? Well, then you have to realize that these people had cheer. They had joy in their lives, and the wise men had exceeding great joy. So did the shepherds, so did Joseph and Mary, so did Elizabeth, so did Zechariah. Even the unborn John the Baptist had joy. Now look here, if he's the first Baptist who had joy at the coming of Christ, then the rest of us could go ahead and get on the bandwagon too. What do you say? But why is there Christmas cheer, and why did they have Christmas cheer? Because of what they knew. Because of what they knew. The wise men knew that they were led by God to Christ. The wise men are my favorite part of the Christmas story. They and Joseph. Joseph is the unsung hero of this whole thing. But the wise men, because they were men who just simply followed what they knew. And they got, listen now, and they got to the exact place where Jesus was born. I don't know how large the city of Bethlehem was with the birth of Christ, but I can tell you this, the star that they saw in the east and then appeared to them again outside that city of Jerusalem, that star then miraculously moved over to the very spot where Jesus was. They got exactly to his location. They didn't have to go to town and ask in Bethlehem, where is he that's born king of the Jews? That shaft of light from the tail of that star shone upon the very spot where Jesus Christ was. They rejoiced because when they saw the star, they knew they were very close to getting to where Jesus was. They knew their journey was about over. What they knew caused them such joy. Joseph and Mary knew that the word of God was being completed and coming to pass, and that the Son of God would be given to their family. What they knew caused their joy. The shepherds knew the Savior was come. Can I ask you a question this morning, friend? Does what you know bring joy to you this morning? No way. I was watching Fox News today, Pastor Johnson, before I came to church. And there it is again. The same conspiracy. Oh, I was watching this news program. I was watching that. You know, the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, if what we know doesn't bring us joy, maybe what we need to do is change where we're getting our source of knowledge. Wouldn't that be a good idea? See, what caused these people? The wise men followed the word of God, and that brought them to Jesus. The shepherds listened to the voice of God, to the angelic host, and that brought them to Jesus. The angel brought the message to Mary, and that brought her joy. And Joseph, and he was concerned about his espoused wife being with child, and they were not yet married. And yet the message of God brought him joy to understand that. And the message to Elizabeth brought joy. And John... You see, ladies and gentlemen, if what you know doesn't bring you joy, maybe you better change the source of where you're getting your knowledge today. Because I'm going to tell you something. This book right here is a joy book. Do you realize this morning, my friend, from what the Bible says, you can know you have salvation. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Because of what the Bible tells us, not because of what we think, not because of what we've heard, because of what the Bible tells us, we can know we have salvation. Do you know you have salvation this morning? Then if you do, it's because someone showed you from the Bible how you could know you have salvation. And you trusted what the Word of God said about the Son of God, and you accepted Christ as your Savior, and you got saved. And you know that you have salvation. Whenever you doubt whether or not you're saved, you look at what the Bible says. Did I do what the Bible said? Did I realize I was a sinner and trust Jesus Christ as my Savior? Did I accept Him in repentance of faith? And did He give me the gift of eternal life? And did it come from what the Bible said? Then you know you have salvation. You have assurance of salvation because of the Word of God. You have the lamp for your feet. You have the light for your path. You know, and by the way, we know what the Bible tells us about how our lives should be and how it ought to be lived. We don't have to search the halls of philosophy. We don't have to go to the dusty ruins of a seminary and religious belief. We can take the Word of God in our hands, open it up, and it tells me how to live my life and where I should go and what I should do. It gives me, I know, and by the way, it also tells me that I know how it's all going to turn out. You know, it's a good book to read during Christmas season? The Revelation. The Revelation, not Revelations. It's called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. You know that stuff in there about war and pestilence and disease and famine and death and all that kind of stuff? Yeah, that's all in there. Sure is. But I like to read it because I like to get about chapter 19. Because when you get to chapter 19, it picks up just a little bit right there. And after war and pestilence, see, about a good 80% of Revelation is about the tribulation period. First part of that covers characters of the Revelation, Antichrist and those people. Second half of that covers the events of the tribulation, judgments, perils, death and disease and famine and war and blah, 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 blah. It's a mess. But I like the first part of the Revelation because it tells us where the child of God is. Revelation chapter 4, and I heard a voice from heaven like a voice, trumpet of God saying, come up hither, and I will show thee, and whoop, the trumpet of God sounds. The dead in Christ rise first. That's why I think Jesus is coming on Sunday morning. The dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain are whoop, caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And we're in heaven during all that stuff. And then in Revelation 19, the Bible says, the heavens are ripped open, and Jesus comes riding through on a white horse with a 10-gallon hat. I don't know about that part. And he has crowns on his head and a name on his thigh, and he returns to this earth with an army and a host, and he takes control of the earth without United Nations permission. And he takes over this world, puts it all into submission, and Jesus Christ rules and reigns, and God wins. And then there's heaven. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but if what you know doesn't bring you a lot of joy, maybe you need to change where you're getting what you know. Yeah, Pastor Johnson, I've been following these economic reports. Oh, my. Oh, my. Black Friday didn't turn out to be such a great Black Friday. So we're not sure what that means. I'll tell you what it means. It means the sales have to continue for several more weeks. And that price they raised 80% and dropped 40%, they're going to have to bring it back to reality. It means, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't mean, oh boy, we get cheap stuff at the store. Think about it. How many of those little stupid video picture frames can you own? No, what do you know this morning, friend? That's certain. That's sure. Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Well, my financial portfolio took a beating this year, Pastor Johnson. Oh, yeah, mine did too. I don't have one, but it looks good. I got a file. It says financial portfolio. You open up. There's nothing in there. It took a beating. There wasn't even anything in that stupid thing. Truth of the matter is, it's amazing. Oh, yeah, we follow this and we follow that. And we get on the roller coaster of news and headlines and paper. And all the things are coming and going. Oh, what does all that mean? It means you have attached yourself to a roller coaster system called the world. And the Bible says, the world passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. These people had joy because of what they knew. Jesus had come. You know what brings Christmas cheer? Not only because of what they knew, but because of what they had received. All knew that the promise of God that Christ would come had happened. You know how long the Jews had been waiting for this? Thousands of years. I read it again this morning, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, Isaiah 9 and verse number 6. The promises that a woman would encompass a man, the book of Jeremiah. There are so many passages in the Old Testament that prophesy of the birth of Jesus Christ, that he would come. That's what the wise men followed from Daniel chapter 9. They knew that Messiah would come. They knew it. And the Jews were waiting. Every young woman in Israel for hundreds of years, had the hope that she would be the one who would give birth to Christ. And her purity, her virginity, would be an evidence of this, and that she would be a chosen one. They were waiting, all waiting and looking and promising, and the hope of that Christ would come. And then the news is there. And what's amazing is this. There's a time frame in the book of Daniel chapter 9 where they knew. That's why the wise men came from the east then. It wasn't just a hope. Well, maybe he's there. No, they knew there was a time schedule that God gave of when Christ would come. They knew they lived in that day. They knew it. And they came from the east. That's why when they got there and they saw the star, they said, this is it. We are here. This is the moment. The Christ child has come. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he is here. And they knew it. And because of what they knew they had received, there was such great joy. The shepherds in the field, I love that. How that God came to them with that angelic host. Shepherds were considered the lower strata of life. They were that bottom rung of common laborers that most people didn't respect a great deal because they spent their entire life taking care of a bunch of dumb sheep. So when God comes to give that announcement, he sent the wise men to the palace. He sent the angels to the shepherds. God just loves the common man. It's just one of my favorite parts of the Christmas story. And there they are in the field, sitting there, eating beef jerky, drinking Diet Coke. See, how do you know? How do you know it wasn't? Think about that for a minute. Mess your Christmas up good. Eating teriyaki beef jerky. Ooh, with lots of pepper on it. Hopefully homemade from venison. That's deer. Shoot that Bambi and strip that boy down and make jerky out of him. What God made them for. Animals are delicious. I love them. The truth is, there they are on the hillside, and the angelic host appears. And there's this great host of eight. All of a sudden, whoo, what is this? And they said, he is born. They said, it's here. It's here. He has come to us. They were so excited about that. Jesus has come. They were so excited. Say, well, yeah, that was 2,000 years ago. No, friend, Jesus has come. 2,000 years. The reason we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ is because we celebrate that God kept his promise and we have received Emmanuel, God with us. You remember that when you stand in line at Walmart. And they call back to some stupid department that does not exist. With no one working in it. It's bad enough they're calling for back there and no one answers the phone. Electronics pickup line 2, electronics pickup line 2. Somebody standing there that weighed 194,000 pounds when they came in there, they're down to 18 pounds. They've been waiting for the same department also. When you're standing there in line, you can just go ahead and think about it. Jesus has come. Jesus has come, just like God said. And as they received the promise of God, can I ask you a question this morning? Friend, look at me. Have you received a few promises from God this year? Things you asked God for? things you trusted God for. Look at me now. The promise of answered prayer. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, there's some things I didn't get yet, but did he answer a couple prayers for you this year? Things you called out to God for, you asked him for, and God answered your prayer. Why can't we have Christmas cheer over what we have received? We don't have Christmas cheer because we're not happy with what we didn't get yet. Well, I wonder what they're going to get me for Christmas. Underwear! If you're over 40, you're getting underwear. That's all you're getting. So don't get excited. Maybe a pair of socks with little toes in it. Maybe. Or you'll get a fruitcake from your aunt that she got from her uncle who got from her brother, and there's only one fruitcake, and everybody just keeps passing it around. Would someone please eat that last fruitcake and get it off the planet? No, we're unhappy because of what we didn't get. Well, I didn't get the promotion. I didn't get that. I didn't get a raise. I didn't get a bonus. I didn't get a thing. I didn't get this. I didn't have that. I didn't get one of these. They were happy because of what they had received. Now, can you think of some things you have received this year that God allowed into your life? And can you find joy that the hand of God became evident in your life and he brought some things to you? See, that's why they were happy. They were happy because Jesus had come and they knew they had received the promise of God. I guarantee you, my friend, you look at me. You're sitting in this room this morning. It's because God kept his promises to you this year. And God took care of you. So maybe we come to the end of the year and we don't necessarily have everything that we want. You know, it's a blessing when people ask you what you want for Christmas and you can't really think of anything. You know that? And nothing really comes to mind. I mean, you have to think about it for a while. Well, boy, I don't know. Now, listen carefully. If you don't come up with something, you will get underwear. So you better come up with something. But it's a blessing to be able to think, you know, what do I... Some of you got a 42-page list. And you're just waiting for some poor fool to ask you. And you're going to dump that list on them. But it means, it simply means, man, God has sure been good. The economy's tough, but do you still have a job? You got a family? You got your health? Somebody love you? Somebody genuinely, honestly care for you and your existence on this planet? What have you received, friend? Christmas cheer. Why were they happy? Because of what they were expecting. You see, the wise men had not found Christ yet in Matthew 2 and verse 10. The star appeared. They do not know it will lead them exactly to where Christ is, but they have that expectation. They're thinking, well, look, the first time it appeared, and the star did not lead them all the way across the wilderness. It appeared in the east, and the star, I believe, was the message of Christ and the gospel and the word of God that they saw in Daniel. But when they get there, and they saw the star, and I believe it's a literal star. When they got there, they saw it. They go, you know, that's the same one we saw over there. Look at this. That must mean we are very close. And they had the joy of expectation. Now, that's why children are such a blessing at Christmas time. Most of us, you know, we kind of lose the joy of the thing at all. Last year, our granddaughter in Brooklyn was 2 years old, and we were up Christmas Eve, put them to bed early. We're up Christmas Eve, wrapping presents, put them underneath the tree. And she comes out Christmas morning, little PJs on. She comes running in the front room. She puts her hands on her head, and she goes, "Oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness." And she just ran around in circles for a minute, holding her head, going, "Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness." And she's stopping and looking for me. "Is that one mine?" I go, "I'm not sure." And I say, "Yeah, that's yours, Pookie." "Oh, my goodness." I'm sitting there going, "Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Let me wake up." I think it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I got to bed. Slot A, slot B. All of a sudden, that little 2-year-old take a couple laps, brother. And I thought, you know, that child's got the Christmas thing going really good. "Yeah, because it's about gifts." "No, it's about expectation." Did you ever do the razor blade thing when you were a kid? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Some of you folks, you need to just kind of spunk up your life a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You never put a razor blade in your teeth and crawled out in the middle of the night, went over to the present thing and slit the tape and just opened the end to see what it was? How many ever did that? A bunch of wicked people in this church, honestly. See, you never thought about it. Now, some of you, you're too old to try it now. That's where we'll find you, on the floor, choking on a razor blade in the middle of the night. Now, don't do it now. It's too...
It only works when you're skinny and you're a little kid and you can crawl underneath the lights. You get a bunch of people in the emergency room with all these cut lips, and they wonder what that's all about. You know, the shepherds left their flocks to go see. Joseph and Mary were anticipating their family. Their family would receive Christ. They were chosen for this. The expectation of it all. There is great joy and expectation. Did you know, are you expecting some things? Are you expecting to gain the 6 to 8 pounds we gain at Christmas time? You're expecting to spend all your money and go into debt? Do not repeat, do not repeat, do not do that. There is no Christmas as bitter as December the 26th in anticipation of bills you can't afford to pay. Do not do that. Just tell people, it's been a tough year, I can't do anything. Too bad. That's just the way it works. It's okay. Church family, if you need help, you come and see me. We can't supply everybody's Christmas, but we can help folks. But wait a minute. But wait a second. Ladies and gentlemen, but what are you expecting today for Christmas cheer? That ought to cheer you up. You know the Jesus who came the first time? He is coming again. I love Isaiah 9:6. Wonderful passage. For unto us a son is born, a child is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But chapter 9 and verse 7 says that the government will rest upon his shoulders. Well, that hasn't happened yet. Chapter 9, verse 6 of Isaiah is Jesus coming the first time. Chapter 9 and verse 7 is Jesus coming the second time. And just as surely as he came the first time, he's coming again. And guess what, dear friend? We have that wonderful expectation today. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus came back before the bills were due? Have Christmas, eat that ham, eat all them cookies. And then December the 26th, trump of God sounds, dead in Christ, rise first. Yes, Methodists do go to heaven. And then we're all caught up together and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Could you imagine that? Do you have the expectation of God answering your prayer? Do you have the expectation that, I don't know about this next year, Pastor Johnson. I don't either. But there's just something about me not knowing and God knowing that gives me a hope of expectation. How about you? Or do we have the gloom and doom? I don't know what's going to happen. We got a new president and we got these people and what is going to take place. And who are they going to take all of our freedoms away? He's going to put his hand on the Koran and swear in as president of the United States. Blah, blah. Well, no wonder you look like you're a deer in the headlights. Good night, nurse. What kind of expectation do we have? We have a year of unexpected hope and unexpected privileges, unexpected opportunity. But God's got the plan laid out, friend. And the grace that safely brought us this far will safely take us home. Maybe we should just take Amazing Grace out of the hymn book if we're not going to sing it right. I'm not talking about that Amazing Grace, not that kind of junk. I'm talking about, yeah, that's right, I got rhythm for a white boy. The truth of the matter is, if we're not going to sing it right, when we get to that verse, the grace that safely brought us this far will safely lead us home. We're not going to believe that, then maybe we should take that verse or don't sing it when it comes to your turn. But ladies and gentlemen, there is expectation because it there's great joy in that because God knows. I don't know. Could you imagine you come to the end of this year and you do one of those look back over the year things? Could you have imagined all the things you went through this year? When January 1, 2008 started, could you have imagined all the things that happened to you and your family and your life? All the things. But when you look back over 2008, what do you see? Well, I see trial, tribulation, difficulty, heartache. The whole year was like that? 52 weeks of it? I guarantee you there were valleys in this last year. Yes, friend? Oh, yes. There's some dark midnights. There are some times of unparalleled grief and sorrow. Mm-hmm. But there was also grace, and there was comfort, and there was strength, and there were blessings, and by the way, many more than you had troubles and trials. So then the expectation is, they knew, they were expecting something great from God. Have you still got that now? You do? Because if you do, you get some Christmas cheer out of that. That's because, see, if your knowledge is coming from the wrong source, no joy. If your expectation is coming from God, you have the expectation and joy that comes from that. Christmas cheer. Get some. Pass it around.